LASIK Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Happy Thursday to all of you. Hope your morning's getting started off right. You know, it's been so cold. I do believe that there's still the same amount of ice on my street that was there two days ago. I really do believe that. It's that cold. This is ridiculous. I deserve better. Good morning to you. We've got a lot to talk about today. Of course, Governor Wes Moore has made some comments that has put some light, I guess you could say, on the conversation he had between himself and President Trump at the Army-Navy game. And we saw the picture that came out of it, and it kind of went viral just a bit on X, formerly known as Twitter. But now we've got some context behind that, so we'll get into that. Around 9:30, we're going to be joined by Delegate Kathy Shalega and Delegate Ryan DeRocky. They're going to tell us about their first day back at the State House there in Annapolis. And I've got lots of questions for them. If you have a question and you want to send it over via text message, you can do so. Just make sure you downloaded the app. It is free in the App Store. Just hit WCBM 680 and download that app, and you can text me right through that app, and I'll get it here live in studio, and I can ask them when they call in. They usually like to come in person, but as you can imagine, they are in Annapolis for this 90-day session, and there are really no breaks for them. And so we'll talk about the budget. We'll talk about juvenile crime. We'll talk about energy costs. And, of course, I also want to talk about what is the chatter at the State House when it comes to Tom Homan and President Trump's ICE coming to town. We've heard so many times before that there are a lot of Democrats that are going to give some pushback. And after seeing the Laken-Riley Act missing some votes from those Democrats in our congressional delegation, I wonder if on the local and state level, the same memo went out to all. And if that's the case, I just want to make sure that we're all prepared to see this go down. Also, we're going to talk about the increases coming in to consumers in Baltimore City from BGE. And Stephen A. Smith, I told you before, I think he's going to go MAGA. My prediction with Stephen A. Smith is he's going to go MAGA by June, and I do believe that he will. He had something to say about the New York judge that still wants to bring President Trump into court for the hush payment that supposedly went to Stormy Daniels, and he wants to impose some sentencing. Believe it or not, yeah, there's pushback from Stephen A. Smith and some others. So we'll talk about that. But I wanted to open the show discussing the latest with the Los Angeles fires. Last night I made a post on social media, all my social media platforms, and just talking about how devastating this all was. I was running around all day yesterday, so I didn't have a chance until later on in the day to really take a look at some of the videos that were being posted, some of the photos that were being posted, but also looking at some of the posts coming out of Truth Social from President-elect Donald Trump. And some of the messages coming from Gavin Newsom's office, the governor there in California. And I also got to see when a Sky News reporter was able to ask questions to Mayor Karen Bass. And I'm sure you're not going to be shocked with her response. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But here's the thing that most people are talking about right now. And some people are saying, I can't believe we're making it political. This is not important at this time. But it really is. It really is. Because when we talk about DEI hires, when we talk about voting people based on their color, their gender, right, their sexuality, we talk about this thing, these things day in and day out. And for some reason, we always get pushback. We're told that we are homophobic, transphobic, we're racist, we're this, we're that. But we talk about these things because there are times that will come up, like we see today in Los Angeles, where these DEI hires and such are a problem. And so it's not that I want to make it political. I am just going to continue to point out the truth of the matter. And the truth is, Karen Bass has no business being the mayor of Los Angeles. The truth is, Gavin Newsom has no business being the governor in California. Now, we do remember when they were trying to recall Governor Gavin Newsom a few years ago. And at that time, you had political commentary, I guess you could say political commentator and author, because he's written some books. But Larry Elder decided to run in that gubernatorial race. Now, there were a couple of different candidates that I thought were well-equipped for the job in the Republican Party. Larry Elder, I thought, was one of them. But when it came down to it, Gavin Newsom was able to remain in his seat. Now, we also saw Gavin Newsom, I guess he was alluding to the fact that one day he will run for the office of the presidency. Many people assumed that he was going to do it in 2020. Clearly, he chose not to at that time. And it was a very crowded race, I think, in the Democrat primary as it is. So it looked like he was going to wait it out. But here you have a situation where when the Democrats, the DNC, they were talking about replacing Joe Biden, right? We were already hearing the chatter before they did it. And many people were saying, well, you know what? Kamala Harris could be a good choice. But then Gavin Newsom's name did come up. And I kept asking myself, I said, well, why would anyone consider Gavin Newsom to run the country when he can't even run California? Now, of course, it's a pretty big state, of course. But he can't run it. You see, this is the teller, right? Even when it comes to Governor Wes Moore, because there's a lot of people still saying that he's great, that he can one day run for president and he can win. I guess I would have to see proof in the pudding. If you can't run a state, right, and it's just a state, and many people in California agree with Gavin Newsom. It's not like he's getting a whole lot of pushback, right? This isn't a swing state where it might be difficult to make some decisions. California is blue. The population has been on decline. Homelessness is through the roof. Just like here in the Baltimore region, they are down police officers, they're down firefighters, they're down EMTs. They have all those same issues. They were supportive of the Defund the Police movement. They do not take care of basic government functions. And for some reason, there are people, there are Democrats that think that that's okay. And so now we're in this position where you've got at least five people that are dead. I'm pretty sure this death toll is going to rise, by the way. Because, I mean, if you've seen any of the videos coming out of Los Angeles, and usually I say to you, you know, I don't encourage you to go and watch the videos. In this instance, I say go watch them. Go watch them. Go look at the photos. You will see this is a nightmare. This is a nightmare. It looks like a scary movie, like Armageddon. It is awful. Of course, Paris Hilton, she has talked to some news reporters. She actually watched her house burn down to the ground. She is now staying at a relative's home with four dogs, by the way, and her children and her husband. And she talked about how she lost absolutely everything. There are many actors, many celebrities that are losing their homes. They showed pictures this morning of Hunter Biden's Malibu home that has been burned to the ground. And it doesn't matter how elite you think you are. It doesn't matter how much of a celebrity you think you are. When it comes to a fire that is spreading across the city as fast as this one, there is nothing you can do. There are people that are laughing, believe it or not. There was a gentleman, very, very rich man, I guess. He made a post on X, and he offered to pay no matter what the cost for someone that could come to his house and bring a private... He thinks firefighters are privatized. He said he wanted to bring a private vendor to his home with privatized firefighters, I guess, you know, with their equipment and all, to come and put out the fire at his house. He actually posted this online. If you can imagine, people were laughing at him. They were mocking him. They couldn't believe that he would make such a request. And he was serious. He was willing to pay millions of dollars to have his home saved. I think this just shows, honestly, when I saw the post, I thought, well, these people are really this much out of touch. They really don't get it. They don't understand how this works. They clearly don't understand basic government functions. They don't get it. And these are the same people that try to influence the entire country on how to vote. Those are the same celebrities that were telling us that Biden was sharp as a tack. He was the guy for the job. President Trump is some evil Nazi. How could you dare to vote for him? He's a threat to democracy. These are those people. Look at who they've elected. Gavin Newsom and Mayor Karen Bass. Meanwhile, we're glad we should say welcome back to the mayor. You know, she was in Ghana. She was in Ghana for their inauguration. So she just arrived. She just got back in town yesterday. Now, if you're thinking if she paid for that trip to Ghana on her own, she didn't. She used taxpayer dollars. Now, as she arrived, there was a Sky News reporter that was standing by to ask questions, which was so crazy, too. The Sky News reporter, he was on the ground in L.A. before she was. I don't mean to laugh, but this is how ridiculous this all is. I want you to take a listen to the questions that he was asking her, and I just want you to kind of hear her response. Take a listen.
Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Have you nothing to say today? Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position? Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster?
All right, that is Sky News reporter asking Mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, some basic questions. I thought it was really funny that he asked her, Elon Musk says you're incompetent. Is that true? I mean, really, there was nothing he was afraid to ask her at that point because he was standing down like in that little terminal area. And, you know, at that point, he was like, here it goes, I'm sure. Because once you're that close, and he was the only reporter standing there for this, I guess they call it a gaggle. He was the only reporter there. And so he just thought, you know what, I'm just going to throw everything at this. I'm going to throw everything at her. Now, if you notice, she didn't respond at all. Now, just recently, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, she cut $17.6 million from the firefighting budget. That was recently. Now, there are people that are complaining online. Of course, you know, you got those that are going to vote blue no matter who. They're not to blame, even though they've caused all of these problems. And please believe, Democrat friends, I love you, but this is a problem thanks to Democrats. And we'll get into that in just a second. But she cut all of this funding from firefighters. And people are now complaining online, you know, those Democrats that are just so loyal. They're like, well, what did you expect her to do? Because there were some conservatives that were saying that we can't afford all this stuff and da-da-da-da-da. It's like they still don't get it. If you're asked or even tasked with cutting some money from the budget, do you go to the fire department or do you go to the money that you're holding on to for illegal aliens? Do you cut from the fire department or do you cut money from the gender reaffirming care surgeries? Which one do you cut? Do you cut from the firefighters or do you cut from the money that you're giving drag queens to read at story hour at the local library? I mean, you know, these are the decisions they decided to make. You can still get your gender reaffirming care basically free if you'd like in California. There's no cuts that were made there. Nothing. They added money to that budget. So if you're thinking that this isn't from poor decisions, it definitely is. And yes, I'm sure they did have to cut some funding. Just like here in Maryland, we're looking at a $2.6 or $7 billion deficit. They've got to cut funding. But you're not going to cut it from basic government functions, from public safety measures, are you? That would be silly. You cut it from other things. And yes, in Los Angeles, they're spending a ton of money on homelessness and on illegal aliens. They're housing them. They're feeding them. They want to be a sanctuary state. They're saying, come on over. We can help you here in California. They're spending lots of money on that. And here we are. Now, I think the total of structures destroyed right now. Last night, when I went to bed, it was about 1,300. This morning, I turned on Fox News. They said it was a little over 2,000 structures that have been destroyed. I still saw the death toll at 5 this morning. And as of 9:30 p.m. last night, we were told that 0% of this fire has been contained. Now, Los Angeles is the second most populated city in the U.S. This is a nightmare. I mean, the population was already on the decline in Los Angeles. Do you think these rich celebrities are going to stay there now? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, of course, there were a lot of people asking and wondering, you know, what's going on with the water? And that's what we're going to talk about when we get back. According to some, and I would say even the fire department, which is important, there isn't any water in the fire hydrants. Now, there were some reporters there, you know, at the local news trying to hide some of this part of the story, but now it's been revealed. Now it's been revealed, and there's a reason why there isn't any fire in, water in these fire hydrants. And it's not because there's just no water. It's because of decisions, poor decisions, that were made by leadership. We'll discuss that more coming up next.
This is Pastor David Lewis at the Cub Hill Bible Presbyterian Church for the Moment of Truth. Judge Robert Borkin, speaking of the decline of America, once said, "With each new evidence of deterioration, we lament for a moment and then become accustomed to it." He said that in 1996. I'm afraid nowadays we don't even lament about things for a moment. Judge Bork also said that the defining characteristics of modern liberalism are radical egalitarianism, which is the equality of outcomes, known today as equity, rather than of opportunities and radical individualism. This speaks directly to what the Apostle Paul described in Romans 1 as the sinfulness of humanity. There's been no greater reduction of limits to personal gratification than a removal of God from the public square. Time does not permit me to list the consequences of that decision upon our land. God is long-suffering, but even he has limits. There's no quicker way to remove his hand of blessing than by thumbing our nose at him. This is Pastor Dave Lewis at the Moment of Truth.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Sean Hannity Show.
A lot of our audience is going to have to fit with their radical, woke, liberal, angry, maybe 4B relatives. We may need Dr. Hannity in the house. And if you want to call in, 800-941-SEAN. I have some general principles as it relates to this. Is you won, they lost.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCVM.
All right, we're talking about the fires that cannot be contained in Los Angeles. Prayers go out to all involved, to be honest with you. 410-WCVM-680, 410-922-6680. You can weigh in if you'd like. We're still finding that five people have been confirmed dead. Of course, that number in the death toll might increase as they try to get some of these fires out and contained. This is just so sad. It really is. Marty in the text line said, the fires in Los Angeles are fueled by dead trees and dried brush that used to be cleaned using controlled burns. But these controlled burns no longer occur in the name of climate change. Yes, Marty, and there's a couple of different reasons as well, but I'm glad that you pointed that out. You know, we got a lot of text messages coming in already. You guys are on top of it this morning. Back in November 2019, President at the time, Donald Trump, tweeted this out. He says, "The governor of California, Gavin Newsom, has done a terrible job of forest management. I told him from the first day that we met that he must clean his forest floors regardless of what his bosses, the environmentalists, demand of him. Must also do burns and cut fire stoppers every year. As the fires rage in California burns, it is the same thing, and then he comes to the federal government asking for more money. He gets no more. Get your act together now, Governor Newsom. You don't see close to the level of burn in any other states, but our teams are working well together in putting these massive and many fires out." He also goes on to say that California has great firefighters, also open up the ridiculously closed water lanes coming down from the north. Do not pour it out into the Pacific Ocean. Should be done immediately. California desperately needs water, and you can have it now if you like. That was President Trump in November of 2019. This is not some new phenomenon, okay, in California. Is it absolutely brutal and absolutely upsetting and disgusting that it's gotten to this point where Los Angeles is burning down to the ground? Yes. But these issues, these problems have been going on for years. And yes, and Marty, as you pointed out, a lot of it was in the name of climate change. Climate change. And I say all of this, and we open with this today. Honestly, I send my prayers to Los Angeles, and of course I think the leadership there is incompetent. But there are a lot of similarities to what they do in California to what they want to do here in Maryland. And I don't want you to lose sight of that. okay? These progressive policies, the incompetence, it's all just like it is here at home. And that's the sad part about it, is that, you know, there really isn't going to be a solution or a fix that you could give these individuals, because in their mind, the ideology is we're going to save the environment, we're going to save the fish before we save you, the human being that pays our salaries with your tax dollars. That's what happens in their minds. You can't change that. You have to literally, quite literally, vote them out of office. You're not going to change their mind on this. I know many of us were shocked to learn that the Democrats in the delegation here in the state of Maryland voted against the Lake and Riley Act, as if they don't want to get rid of criminals that are here illegally. And so many of us are trying to wrap our minds around it. But again, this is why they should not be in office. I have nothing against Democrats, but these progressives, they are out of control. They have no idea what they're doing. Their pie-in-the-sky ideas do not work. They don't work. We can't take this on for years and years and years. They just don't work. Their ideas, the things that they say, I see this even in Baltimore City when it comes to Zeke Cohen and others that are progressives. They don't work. At what point does a voter say, hey, guys, your ideas are stupid. You're the first person to do this and the first person to do that because everybody before you knew that it was stupid. President Trump did make a comment on Truth Social yesterday. Again, that last comment that I read to you, that was November 2019. Yesterday, President-elect Donald Trump says, Governor Gavin Newsom, that's what he's called, Newsom, refused to sign the Water Restoration Declaration. But before him, that would have allowed millions of gallons, of water from access, rain and snow melt from the north to flow daily to many parts of California, including the areas that are currently burning right now. He wanted to protect an essentially worthless fish called smelt by giving it less water. It didn't work, but didn't care about the people of California. Now the ultimate price is being paid. I will demand that this incompetent governor allow beautiful, clean, fresh water to flow into California. He is to blame for this. On top of it all, no water in the fire hydrants, no firefighting planes, a true disaster. Because remember, Mayor Karen Bass, she cut the budget. This is all man-made. This was all preventable. To all my Democrat friends that listen to the show and you back Democrats no matter what, please call in and tell me how you back something like this. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. If you need time to get up the courage, that's fine. Because coming up next, we are going to talk to Delegate Kathy Shalega and Delegate Ryan Naraki. But then we're going to get back into this conversation after we find out what we plan to do in Annapolis this year. All right, good morning. Happy Thursday to so many of you. We were talking about the Los Angeles fires, and again, this all goes together because I noticed a lot of similarities on the progressive policies that we have in here in the state of Maryland and also where they have there in California. Right now, I am very pleased to be joined by guest Delegate Kathy Shalega and Delegate Ryan Naraki, who just got back to work for their 90-day session. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Kim.
Good morning,
Kim. Great to be with you.
No, thanks for coming on. I know you guys are very busy. I know you got to get to the floor soon. So first and foremost, how did the first day go?
Oh, it's a lot of pomp and circumstance and, you know, people patting themselves on the back.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure about that. And when you guys were listening, even with the chatter in the background, maybe not on the floor, but even in the halls, what do you think is going to be first on the priority list?
Yeah, I mean, Kim, I think the first priority is we've got to figure out this budget crisis that the Democrats have manufactured here in Annapolis.
No, I agree with you. Did anybody come up with any ideas?
Yeah, they've got tons of great ideas, tons of more taxes and fees to solve their spending crisis that they've created.
Yikes. See, that's what I think a lot of people are worried about, that they could possibly see a rise, in taxes this year. I guess when you're looking at some of the things that Governor Wes Moore has said recently, he said he's going to cut about $2 billion from the budget. Do you think he's going to get anywhere near close to that? Do you know how he's going to try to do that or any of those items?
Well, it'll be interesting, just to remind your listeners, in Maryland, the governor presents the budget to the legislature. You know, usually, you know, you think of constitutionally the House is who starts the spending. But in Maryland, the governor creates the budget, he submits it to the legislature, and then the legislature works on it. Now, we used to only be allowed to cut the budget, which was good because the legislature had proven themselves less than 100 years ago to be completely inept, and they bankrupt the state. So they said, nope, the legislature can only cut the budget. But there was a question on the ballot a couple years ago, and people voted for it because I don't think they knew what they were voting for, that now lets the legislature add money to the budget. So, you know, the governor's going to come in. We'll see. It's next week. We'll see what the supposed $2 billion in cuts are. But, you know, I just say hold on to your wallets, Maryland, because they cannot stop spending.
Yeah. Yeah. We're seeing, I think we were even seeing the reassessments, the tax, property taxes going up and increasing. There seems to be such increases all over the place, whether it's energy costs. And I know that Senator Bill Ferguson was talking about doing something about the energy costs. Did you guys get a glimpse on what he might be thinking?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, their proposals to deal with energy costs and the energy problem is to offer more things like offshore wind turbines and more solar power, which we all know has gotten us into this situation to start with. What he should be talking about and what they're not talking about is the closure of the Brandon Shores and Wagner power plants. That's the way that we truly lower our power costs, by creating more generation capacity, not closing coal-fired power plants. Oh, by the way, to burn more coal in Pennsylvania, where we're going to run a big, long extension cord from to accommodate that. That's what we should be talking about.
Yeah. I see, and this is what I said. There's so many similarities between Maryland and California. I mean, they create all of these disasters themselves. And then they're telling everybody, look, we need more money because we got to fix this disaster in which we created. And speaking of which, because you guys were on the front lines when it comes to juvenile crime, you told them when the Juvenile Justice Reform Act came out, when the Interrogation Act was proposed, you said, do not vote for this. This is going to create a disaster. They didn't listen to you guys. And now we're in this predicament. Are they talking about tackling juvenile crime?
Well, you know, Kim, it's interesting. I was here when they passed the Juvenile Justice Reform, blah, blah, blah. Look, we all know, everybody knows, when government says they're reforming things and they're Democrats, watch out. Or when they say they're reimagining government, that's another scary thing. You know, Republicans, they don't use those words. But nevertheless, yes, what they did was make a crime legal. So now they're saying juvenile crime is down. Well, that's because crime is legal. Right. So you can't say that juvenile crime is up when they said, wait a second, it's not a crime to steal a car. It's not a crime, you know, if you're under 13, there is no crime unless it's murder. So, of course, crime's down because crime is legal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people have been asking whether or not DJS is going to find a new secretary, because a lot of people are not happy with Vinnie Schiraldi. Is there any discussions of perhaps going to Governor Wes Moore and pleading with him to make a change?
Yeah, absolutely, Kim. And we've done that already. I mean, we've called for myself, Delegate Schlage, and several of our other colleagues have called for Schiraldi's resignation. Look, anybody that believes that you shouldn't be treated as an adult until you're 25 years old, and that's what that guy believes. He believes that when you're 24 years old, if you commit a murder, you don't know what you're doing because your brain isn't fully formed yet. They have no business being involved in any kind of, whether it's juvenile justice or, you know, adult justice or whatever the case might be. They shouldn't be around any of that. So we will continue to put pressure on the governor and others to take some responsibility and to get rid of that guy. And I think the Democrats are finally waking up a little bit on Schiraldi after that incident a couple months back in Baltimore City near Patterson Park, where that gentleman was unfortunately brutally assaulted there in the street. So hopefully that can help us move that ball forward.
Yeah. You know what? I don't envy your job, guys. I really don't. Because you come to the table with common sense. And that's all you're asking, is just common sense, you know, to be reflected in some of this legislation. And it's like they look at you like, you know, like they have, you know, you have two heads and they can't understand why you are asking for such a thing. And yet we continue down this road. I also wanted to ask you, because I've got a text here from Marty, if you could. Marty asked, you know, what is going on with the transportation budget? Can we nix the electric buses? Because this is another topic where we're like, look, why are we going this route when we don't have any money?
Yeah, so I would love to nix those. Those come through. Those issues come through my committee. I'm on the Environment and Transportation Committee. We passed a heavy vehicle mandate, a heavy truck mandate a couple years back that basically brings things like buses and semi-trucks and all kinds of other big trucks, trash trucks, fire trucks, to require them to be electric. There's a lot of problems with that, Kim. The first problem is that there are no charging stations publicly available for these big kind of trucks in Maryland. The other problem is that the manufacturers, they just don't exist. Some are creating these kinds of things, but they can't develop them in the scale quickly enough to meet these mandates. Oh, and by the way, we're shutting down power plants and going to, in the next couple of years, be importing 70% of power out of state into Maryland, and then we're going to plug more things like electric buses online. So absolutely, we would love to nix those, and we're going to continue to try to push for that. And we think that they're going to have to roll back, at least delay some of their electric vehicle mandates over the next couple of years, because they just are not practical. The manufacturers just can't meet them.
Yeah, we are really fighting authoritarian government here, Kim.
Yeah.
You know, we have a governor that put a mandate out that wants to ban our gas stoves, you know, where the government's, you know, they use the word fascist. You know, they're so fascist and authoritarian, they want to tell you what you can, you know, what appliance you can cook your eggs on in the morning. It's ridiculous. You know, they want to ban gas-powered stoves, gas-powered HVAC systems, you know, gas-powered cars, yet they want to stop producing power. You know, we're going to electrify the state, but hold on, you know, we're not going to generate the power we need for you to plug your car in.
Yeah. I mean, you could just see this actually coming down the train tracks. This is going to be a crash. It's going to be a nightmare. And for some reason, they're continuing down this route. Before I ask you guys what you plan to do this session, or even as the session begins, I just wanted to ask real quick about ICE. There are some mayors, there are some in local jurisdictions that say that they don't want to work with ICE or Tom Homan as they come to town once President Trump is sworn in. I know that Stephen Miller with Trump administration, they sent out letters letting them know that they're going to have to work with ICE. And I did see where Governor Wes Moore has hired counsel to fight back against the administration and some of these things they want to do to tackle the illegal immigrant situation. There, as you see things in Annapolis, do you believe that they're going to put up a fight when ICE comes to town?
Well, I think you'll see some of that. I have a bill that this will be my third or fourth year that I put it in, called Keep Our Communities Safe Act, and it requires jails, you know, to cooperate with ICE. So they are holding an illegal immigrant who's been convicted of a crime, not, you know, immigration crime, but a violent crime, a felony, sex offense, they're gang members, they're in jail. They're in jail. They're not sitting on the curb eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, they're in jail, and ICE has a detainer on them for something else. My bill says, you know, felonies, sex offense, gang members, you have to turn them over to ICE. So, you know, we'll see the Laken Riley Act pass the House. It's very unfortunate that, you know, Johnny Olszewski's first vote as a U.S. congressman was to vote against that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's certainly liberals that care more about criminals than keeping our communities safe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Before you guys go, what else is on the top of your list to get done in this next 90 days?
Yeah, so I'll say my top bill, Kim, that I'm really working hard to get done is a bill that will hopefully address this epidemic that we have of people squatting in homes and people's properties. It would expedite the process to get someone out and also put real criminal penalties for people that are showing fake documents, fake leases, fake rental agreements, things like that. It's actually become quite a problem in the state. So that's my main push. I've got some other bills, but that's my big one that I'm trying to get done this year.
Yeah, and I've got not just that ICE bill, but my Fairness in Girls Sports or Save Girls Sports Act, and this will be my fourth year putting that in. Look, that's another bill that we're seeing Congress address. My bill is very specific. High school JV and varsity girls sports are only for girls. very common sense, protects girls' records and protects girls' safety on the field, on the court. You know, it's important. So we'll try it again. I'm not sure this legislature's ready for it, but we're not going to stop talking about it.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you guys and all the work that you're doing. I know you got to get to the floor here. You know, real quick, if people want to keep up with what you're doing on a daily basis, how can they follow you?
Yeah, it's really simple. It is Ryan from Maryland or Kathy from Maryland. It is that easy on all sort of social media platforms.
Perfect, perfect. Well, you guys, good luck down there. We'll be watching, and we really do appreciate you fighting for us. We really do.
Well, Kim, we appreciate you telling the truth and informing all the people listening to WCBM. Keep up your good work as well.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thanks, Kim.
All right, that was Delegate Kathy Shalega, Delegate Ryan Araki. As you heard there, if you want to comment on anything you just learned there, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. As you heard there, the budget is at the top of the list. It does not sound like, even though, like Delegate Shalega pointed out, Governor Wes Moore, he's going to propose $2 billion in cuts. It doesn't sound like there's really any conversations on how they're going to get there. Now, of course, it's only been day one, right? This is day two. And we had to let them go because they got to be on the floor there at 10 o'clock sharp. But here's the deal. When you're looking at the fact that Republicans have the minority in Annapolis and you've got all of these Democrats, but it's not just Democrats. And this is things that I wanted to point out and why we're similar to California. It's not just Democrats. We have too many progressive Democrats. And this is all I ask of Democrat voters. Is it so hard? Is it so difficult to vote in the primary for a Democrat that is more of a blue dog Democrat? I call them JFK Jr. Democrats. You know, just somebody that supports, you know, blue collar workers, support common sense legislation, doesn't want juveniles to run amok and, you know, create all this havoc. Is it too much to ask that you choose wisely in the primary? Is that too much to ask? Because I know, you know, we're almost, as a Republican, I don't know how many of you feel that listen to the show, but I kind of feel like I'm being held hostage. Look, I understand. Look, Democrats, I understand. You don't like Dan Cox? Fine. You don't like some of the people that I talk about? Fine. That's fine. But when it comes to your party and that left fringe that you have, like, again, we talked about this yesterday. What do you politically gain for voting against the Lake and Riley Act? How do you gain anything from that? You don't see how this could possibly be a problem. And I even saw, you know, Johnny Ostrowski, of course, he didn't post about it because he's not going to because it's got to be embarrassing. And this is a guy that's a father himself. There are many illegal aliens here in the state of Maryland that are behind bars for sexually assaulting minor girls. Is that okay for people? Does that not call for any pushback? And so that's all I ask. That is just my one ask. If you could do me that one favor in your primary, could you just not vote for the crazy lunatic? There's so many people talking about Governor Wes Moore, you know, possibly making a run for president. And I understand he probably does want to do that. But even right now, as we talked about the Gonzalez poll, he has a 61% approval rating. For what exactly? For what? And I've got some audio that we're going to get to the next hour with Governor Wes Moore. He was doing an interview. And again, it's the same old, right? They're talking about wraparound services, as Delegate Shalega mentioned. They're talking about reimagining this and, you know, we got to modernize this system. They're just talking about spending more of our money on things that don't work. As you heard there from Delegate Naraki, he's talking about the energy costs and what they're doing with transportation. All of this madness is man-made by the Democrat Party. We don't even have to be in this predicament. They did it on their own. And they're continuing to do it. The juvenile crime? They did this. Every Republican in Annapolis said, guys, what are you thinking? You are legalizing crime perpetrated by juveniles that should be at school. Whose idea was this? They all said the same thing. Those gangs are going to then recruit these young kids to commit the crimes because they know that they won't be held accountable. Everybody said this. And then when it started happening, here you had progressives scratching their heads and like, oh, I can't believe this is going on. I don't know. It's just a little common sense. Thought I'd throw it out there every once in a while for you. This is a nightmare. Scott, I did see your text here. It says, Kim, please ask the delegates if after session, will the House Republicans get serious about raising money for 2026? Scott in Westminster. Scott, you know, I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to ask that, but I'm sure they'll be back on the show. We can ask them then. You know, and that is another issue that I think many Republicans, including myself, we have. You know, we want to make sure that we are in a great position coming up in 26, right? Not even just the congressional seats, but also the gubernatorial race. And that's why I've been talking a lot about Dr. Jeff Wolford and others, because we do have to get ready now. We have to get ready now to really have a good fight and a good chance against Governor Wes Moore. As you saw, 61% approval rating. And this is after people already knew that we were headed for a $2.7 billion deficit. They already knew that, and they still said that they liked the guy. They still said it. And as Tiffany in the county, as you pointed out yesterday in the text line, a lot of these people are their government employees, and that's how they feel. But it's a disaster. If you want to weigh in, you can. It's 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. All right, we're talking to Delegate Kathy Shalega and Delegate Ryan DeRocky. They had their first day at the State House yesterday. Sounds like budget is on top of the list. Juvenile crime is there. Energy costs are there. I wanted to get your feedback on it. I've got Linda in Pasadena. Linda, you wanted to weigh in?
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Morning.
Good to hear from you. You're great. I want to first say that, you know, I think it's the illogical innate anger toward President Donald Trump and his agenda. It's the large progressive steering of George Soros, who wants to destroy America, who, by the way, got a medal from Biden, who is ridiculous, and the lack of common sense. I live in the state of Maryland. I don't know. My family's here, but if I had it any other way, I'd go to Florida or some other, Republican state. But I think I don't quite understand it. I think it's just bad. I just don't understand it, and because I think we should be looking out for United States and people and keeping it safe and low crime. But people just seem like on the Democratic progressive agenda, they don't want that. So that's my opinion, and thank you so much. You have a great day and be safe.
Thank you, Linda. You too. Happy New Year to you. And, you know, and Linda, I guess, feels the same way that I do. It's hard to wrap your mind around it because it is just common sense that we're asking for. I'm not asking for anything extra. I don't feel entitled to anything from the government or from taxpayers. I'm not asking, like, you know, on the left, they're asking for taxpayers to pay for gender reaffirming care. Why are you asking me to pay for your plastic surgery? I can't even afford my own plastic surgery. If I could, I'd have a new nose. I wouldn't sound so stuffy on air. Now, wouldn't I? I'm waiting for it to get approved by my doctor. You know? I mean, it's like, we're not asking for anything extra or special. We're asking for less government overreach, and we're asking for government to just take care of basic government functions. That's it. That's all. All right, coming up next, we're going to stay on this topic. If you want to weigh in, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. You know what? It sounds like at least the important topics are going to get discussed first. That's what I got out of the interview, is that Democrats at least know what is important. But what is going to happen? What are the solutions? I'm not so sure. But again, you can call it a weigh in. And then we'll get back to these fires in Los Angeles. Looks like some more information has come out in regards to the mayor, Karen Bass. And I want to make sure I get that to you. It's coming up next.
Kim Plasek Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Happy Thursday. We have a lot to talk about today. We were speaking with Delegate Kathy Shalega and Delegate Ryan DeRocky. Right now they are on the floor there fighting for common sense. For all of us that wish that more common sense came out of Annapolis, I did ask you if you wanted to weigh in on that conversation. We talked about the budget deficit. We talked about transportation, juvenile crime, energy costs. Of course, I asked about, you know, what's the chatter when it comes to ICE coming to town? Because, again, I see no benefit to not oppose locking up or deporting criminally charged illegal aliens. It just doesn't make any sense. Karen Woodlawn, Karen, you wanted to weigh in?
Yes, good morning, Kim, and thank you so much for having the delegates on every week. That's raising our awareness of what's going on. But one point that you made about the governor's popularity, the reason why it's so high is that you have to remember there are a lot of people, especially Democrats, who are low-information voters. They don't read. They don't get involved. I mean, they get most of their information off, and even nationally, they get their information off of MSNBC and CNN. So, and here locally, as you know, the Sun's popularity have gone down. So people are not reading the newspaper, and then there are not a lot of conservative papers here in Maryland anyway.
Yeah.
So they, according to them, yes, Governor Moore is doing a fantastic job. And then for some, Kim, we have to say it, he's doing a fantastic job because he is a black man.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about his, they don't know what the policy, his policies are for the most part, but he's black, so he's fine. And the same with the city, the mayor. You know, Governor Moore is black, he's fine. You know, he could not work with Governor Hogan. So we have to factor that in as to why his popularity is the way it is. And you have to wonder, Kim, Vinny Schiraldi is there because Governor Moore wants him there. I mean, I don't know, even if he was fired, which I don't think will happen, because he knew what Vinny Schiraldi's policies were all along. He's complicit in all of this.
Yeah.
So he can talk a good game, but you hired him. You know his background. You know where he came from. So that's why he's still there.
Yeah, Karen, I agree with you. I guess let me ask you, do you believe that there's a possibility that Wes Moore will eventually get rid of Schiraldi? Because the way I look at it now, as far as he's been there for so long, it almost as if, you know, he owes him some kind of favor or something, because I just can't imagine that he would still be in his seat even today.
Well, Kim, I think Vincent Schiraldi knows where the bodies are buried as far as Governor Moore is concerned. I hate to use a mafioso term, but
yeah.
he must know where the dead bodies are buried, because other than that, he's got something over him, because other than that, he would have been gone by now.
Yeah, that's how I feel as well.
Thank
you so much. I hope you have a happy New Year.
Thank you. You too, Kim.
Thank you. And that's what it comes down to. Karen, you know, hit the nail on the head there. There are a lot of people that look at Governor Wes Moore and say, because he's a black man, because he reminds me of Barack Obama, he gets my approval. And that's sad when you think about it, right? It really is sad. As I mentioned earlier, I still wanted to just discuss the Los Angeles fires, not only because it's our question of the day, but because there's also some more coming out when it comes to Mayor Karen Bass. Because I know I opened the show and I talked about the DEI portion, the diversity hires. Well, some people have been digging up some of her old posts on social media, and I have one screenshotted for you on both Facebook, Instagram, and I reposted one on X if you want to take a look at it. But this was Karen Bass just last year. She says, announcing Los Angeles Fire Department's first ever Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Bureau. They are dedicated to ensuring a fair and equal workplace environment. Los Angeles has some of the most diverse communities in the world. Our institutions should reflect the city they serve. So that was just last year when she was worried about the diversity at the fire department. And so now it's like you're putting all this together and you're seeing, and these are firefighters saying that there are no fire hydrants left that have any water in them. They're sending in the National Guard. They're sending in all this help from other states. And I have a friend named Andrew who's a firefighter locally. And he said that, you know, it is a complete disaster. It is mayhem. I also asked him, because there's some chatter about whether or not there could be an arson, you know, mixed in this. Of course, there is the, you know, the natural fires because of the dry air, the wind, the brush. But could some people be also, you know, helping to gas the flames there? And so Andrew told me that it would be very difficult to figure that out considering how large the brush fire is. But he said when this is all said and done, they most likely will investigate for that as well. Not because of the chatter, but because it's something that the fire department usually does. So in case you're wondering if there could be an arsonist mixed in this, just so you know, that's what he said on it, is that that investigation will occur. Will they be able to find out whether or not there was one? That's another topic. But the question of the day, the WCBM poll is up on WCBM.com, and this is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. The burning question is, should California hold recall elections for Governor Gavin Newsom and the mayor, Karen Bass, of Los Angeles? How do you feel about this? Again, question of the day, WCBM.com. Go to the poll and take part so we can talk about it as the show continues. But that's the question. Should California hold recall elections for Governor Gavin Newsom and the mayor of Los Angeles? And again, that's brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. But here's where I feel about it. I think they both should just resign. I don't even know what they're doing right now. If you've been watching the interviews and the videos that have been coming out of California, you literally just have Gavin Newsom staring and watching things burn down to the ground. There's nothing he can do because there is no water in the fire hydrants where he is. The same thing with Mayor Karen Bass. She did hold a press conference now that she's back in town, and she said they're trying to do the best they can with what they have. Again, what they have, no water. You know, they don't have anything. And so Gavin Newsom, there was a clip that went viral last night. He was talking to CNN, CNN's Anderson Cooper, and he basically, you know, he was trying to blame other things that have been going on, I guess, in California in general. And he even said that this is more of a local issue, kind of pointing the finger at Mayor Karen Bass. And even though, yes, she does have some fault here, he completely did not take accountability for the fact that he did listen to some environmentalists, as our texter Marty pointed out, and he hasn't been cleaning the brush. He hasn't been doing anything to make sure that this does not happen. And so he's also partially to blame. But this all could have been prevented. I just want people to understand that, because I think some people are saying, oh, well, the winds are so high, you know, this fire can't be contained because it's so windy, or so this or so that. No, that's not the case in this one. Yes, the winds are high and it's spreading fast, but that's not why the fire started, and that's not why it continues to spread. It cannot be contained. There's a lot going on, and again, a lot of it comes down to the water aspect. I got my friend Al in Woodlawn. Hey, Al, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Kim. I saw the snow coming down the other day. I said, I know you and Olivia was out there making snow angels.
Oh, yeah. You know I was not out there. I watched from the window, Al. That's
You on your own, Olivia.
Yeah, she's on her own. Yeah.
the fires in California are kind of reminding me. I know it's not the same case, but a few years ago in Hawaii, when Hawaii had the fires, and he was talking to the one government official, and I can't remember verbatim what he said, but he said something to the effect, well, you know, we don't want to use water as a political means out here, you know, because supposedly a government official out there held back some water.
Oh, yeah.
When
yep.
Hawaii was burning.
Yep.
You know, and you know, that was, like, very unfortunate. You know, and now what's happening in California, it just made me think about that. I mean, and Newsom, you know, he's going to run for president in 4 years, so he doesn't want to, you know, make his image look bad. And you know, because something about, I heard you say something earlier about the smelt.
Oh, right, the fish, yep.
The fish. I'm just being facetious, but what would happen when they start building the Key Bridge again if they find, like, an endangered species or something, you know?
Ugh.
When they say, well, we can't build a bridge, you know, because of this fish we just found, you know, or a bird that, you know, does its nesting close to the banks or something, you know?
Yeah, say that, yeah.
It's unfortunate. And real quick, before I let you go, Kim, how long did it take you on New Year's Eve to teach Moore and Brandon Scott and Oleski, how long did it, Johnny O, I'm sorry, how long did it take you to teach them to do the electric slide? Was that you on TikTok, the electric slide with them? Maybe somebody else
no.
was like, okay, wasn't you? Okay.
No, wasn't me, but...
Right,
yeah, they'll be sliding all right, all the way to the bank. Yep, thank you, Al. I appreciate you.
Safe.
Yep, be
all
safe. Right. Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't me dancing on TikTok with them. Here's a problem that I see, and it's very glaring. Again, I appreciate you guys taking part in the poll already, WCDM.com. You know, 100% of you say so far that there should be recall elections for Governor Gavin Newsom and the mayor of Los Angeles. It's unfortunate because as taxpayers, and if you think about all the taxes they pay, even in California, you would think that they would at least have water in the fire hydrants, right? And there was a young lady that made comment online. She said, you know what? I guess she lives not too far from Los Angeles, and she said how she goes to L.A., and she always receives, like, the parking tickets from parking in front of a fire hydrant. She said that she's now thinking about going to court because if there's no water in them, why... Why did she get a fine? Look, I'm actually with her on this one. I'm with her. She was blocking what initially? You know what I mean? Like, what was she blocking? Nothing. Nothing. Just the hydrant itself. There's no water in it. There's no water. I don't blame her. I would at least try it. What does she have to lose on that one? Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. It's a shame. It's unfortunate. But like I said before, and as the delegates pointed out when they were on, you know, these progressive policies, especially when it comes to energy here in the state of Maryland, it's very similar to what they're doing in California. And so voters are going to have to ask themselves, even, you know, coming up here in 2026, is this what you want? You have to really ask yourself, is it worth voting blue no matter who and getting this in return? Like, these are the results. Is that something that you want to do? And if it's because you have a gripe with the Republican Party, feel free to call me and tell me what that gripe is. I mean, there are many things that I have gripes with, you know, when it comes to Republicans. I talk about that often. But if you want to call me, you can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Is there something a Republican Party could do, in your opinion, that would make you say, all right, maybe I'm not going to switch my party affiliation, but in 2026, I will vote Republican up and down ballot because I don't like the direction in which we're headed. Is there something that Republicans can do to make you say, all right, I can do that? I would love to know. I would pass the message along because at this point, you know, I understand that there are some things the Republican Party that some people do not like at all, right? And I even noted that there are people that I know that do not love the fact that many Republicans are pro-life. And they're very pro-choice, and I've got friends that say, I'm not going to vote for a Republican because they are pro-choice. And so I look at it as like, all right, so you're a one-issue voter, okay? I get that part of it. But then I ask also, if it's now back, this decision's at the state level, are you upset with that, living here in the state of Maryland? Because in Maryland, you're going to always have access to abortion. You are. That's not going to change here. They don't want to do anything on the federal level. President Trump has said that time and time again. You know, many Republicans that understand how divisive this entire topic is, they've said many times that they're not going to vote to ban abortions on the federal level. If that's what's holding you back, if it's those talking points from the other side that says that, you know, they're going to take those rights away, I just want to reassure you that that's not going to happen. You're not going to have to worry about that here in Maryland. But I also say, I forgot to add that to my list in California. Because again, illegal immigrants, lots of money for them. There's lots of money for gender reaffirming care, whatever you need in the trans community. But you also have state-funded abortions in California. So you can get an abortion, but you can't get water in your fire hydrant. You know, these are the decisions that are being made. And this is why I like to talk about it. Coming up next, we're going to get into some audio I have from Governor Wes Moore. He did an interview yesterday, and I thought it was important to note some of the things that he said because, you know, we heard time and time again where Governor Moore says that, you know, we didn't really have a surplus here in the state of Maryland, that, you know, it was a sugar high, as he calls it. But he says that the budget was always out of control, but they were trying to hide it, and he's referring mostly to the structural budget. I say baloney. And I think after you hear this audio, you will say baloney as well. Stay right there. All right, we're talking about so many different things. Los Angeles fires as they continue. I've been trying to refresh X, formerly known as Twitter, see if there's any new information, if they got any of this under control. It doesn't look like it. It's so sad. It's so unfortunate. I got an email here from my friend Sophia. She said that she called Congressman Kwaisian Fume's office and she asked why he voted no when it came to the Lake and Riley Act. And she said the attendant at the office said that he did not know And I said, well, is he going to make a statement? You know, asking if Ifume will put out a statement regarding. And the attendant said, I will pass along your concern. Again, that was from Sophia. Look, I doubt they're going to answer to this. They're not going to answer to this. And I've been thinking about this. I've been racking my brain. And I know we talked a little bit about it on the morning drive yesterday with Sean Casey and Bruce Elliott. And I asked, I said, what could they possibly politically gain from voting against the Lake and Riley Act, which only means that they're going to deport those illegal aliens that are here, obviously illegally, that are committing crimes? And we just sat there. It's like, oh, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. But if you're ever looking at who are the progressives on Capitol Hill or who pretends to be progressive, if you're looking at those that need to be voted out, that's the group. Those that voted against the Lake and Riley Act, they cannot remain. They cannot remain. I got a text here from Robert. It says, why don't we stop thinking and believing that politicians do dumb things to sabotage us, like not having water in the fire hydrants or letting unvetted migrants come across the border or catch the release of juveniles who commit violent crimes, etc.? Because they have good hearts and are full of more emotion than intelligence and confront them for the big dreaded C-word conspiracy, and pointed out to them that they appear to be conspiring to do these things deliberately and hide behind a cloak of DEI, etc. Yeah, Robert, and that's why they all have the same talking points. That's why they have it. You know, when they talk about reimagining, you know, modernizing the system, reforming the system, all of these words come out in emails from the DNC, and that's really just a way of saying, yes, we're going to have to raise taxes, we're going to have to impose more fees, because we have to get this agenda completed. And I even talked before about George Soros and the Open Society Foundation. If you go to Open Society's website, you will see that many of the things that you hear from Brandon Scott or others, it's right there on the website. They're like bullet points of things that they want to get done, like the objective, the mission of the foundation are those things. And we hear them repeated all the time from these progressives, quote unquote. It really comes down to the Democrat Party. You know, who do you want in your party? Do you want these progressives running the show? I mean, I will say I used to hear a lot more from AOC than I do today. She used to really run the show. That Green New Deal, all that stuff. Remember she said we'll all be dead in 12 years? That was like 12 years ago. I mean, it's like, you know, they were allowing her to say a lot and get away with a lot. And then you have people that were co-signed for her. And I was like, well, if you ever needed clues on who to not vote for or to get out of office in general, here's your clue. Those that supported the Green New Deal had no business in the U.S. government. I even said before, those that have dual citizenship, I don't think they should be able to be in federal government. I really don't. I know it sounds a little harsh, but I just don't think you can serve two gods at once. I don't think you can be a citizen here and do what it takes for, you know, us to be America first and also have citizenship in another country. I just don't see that. I don't see that making sense, because no matter what, at the back of your mind, you're going to think, oh, well, if this isn't the, you know, the best decision for the other country in which I'm a citizen of, maybe I won't vote this way. You know, so I just don't think that you can be completely loyal to your American constituency and still have a citizenship in another country while making some of these decisions at the federal level. I don't think it's possible, I guess. And so I don't agree with that. But even on the Democrat side, I mean, you can be a Democrat and still be America first, right? I mean, you might have different ideas on how to, you know, get some end results. I mean, the way that we're doing immigration, I think there are some Democrats that realize that we don't want criminally charged illegal aliens here. We don't want to have them on our payroll, which is tax dollar payroll. But it's almost like they're afraid to say so because they, you know, they don't want to upset the apple cart on their side of the aisle. I say upset it. Forget about it. All right, coming up next, we'll get into the comments from Governor Wes Moore. You're going to want to listen. All right, we were talking about the Los Angeles fires, and we're going to move on from that, but I just wanted to note Congressman Wesley Hunt. I just shared something that he posted on Instagram. I'm trying to see if he shared it on Facebook and X as well so I can share it. But it is a video of Gavin Newsom congratulating himself and others for removing the largest dam. You can't make this stuff up. So in this video, Gavin Newsom's at the ceremony. And he says, yes, we must save the fish. I'm trying to find it so I can share it everywhere. But if you are on Instagram, and if you're on my page, Kimberly Klasik, it's now in my Instagram stories. But I'm going to see if I can get it on these other platforms as well. But that's what this was about, right? It was about climate change. It was about, you know, the environment and all this other stuff. But this is how we get here. You know, if government could just stick to basic government functions, I'd be happy. I think a lot of people would be happy. You know, remove the trash, remove the criminals off the streets, right? I mean, there's just certain things that we just expect that we don't really get from certain officials. All right, we'll leave that there. We'll put a pin in it. I did want to talk about Governor Westmore and this interview because I think that it revealed a lot. Now, we did talk about the proposal that's going to be coming from Governor Westmore. We learned from the delegates that'll happen next week. And he is proposing $2 billion in budget cuts. Now, remember, when it comes to the surplus that many talk about that was left behind by Governor Larry Hogan, Governor Westmore says that there really wasn't a surplus. He says that there was COVID money that was there in the bank, right? It was like $5 billion, I guess. That was in the bank, but it wasn't a surplus when you're looking at the structural budget. So he was saying, yeah, that money was there, but it didn't cover all the spending because no matter what, they still needed a certain amount for transportation. They still needed a certain amount for roads and, you know, repairs. And he was saying that, yeah, that money was sitting there. But if you're looking at the overall budget and the recurring budget, that surplus meant nothing. That's what Governor Westmore is saying. That's his argument with all of this. Okay. Just to tell you where his head is at on this. Now I took this audio from the TJ Smith podcast, believe it or not. He had him on yesterday. And there are two clips here because I think they're both equally important. In this first clip, I want you to kind of take a listen to what he was asked about the budget and then the decisions that were made by both Governor Moore and Democrats, knowing that the structural budget had issues. Take a listen.
And so we said that, you know, not only are we going to make sure that we're investing in things that are both sustainable and also, you know, effective, but it does include this $2 billion worth of cuts. And I think that there's a few different places that we're going to be able to pull that from. A lot of it's about how we increase in government efficiency, and that includes things like, you know, consulting IT and fleet management and rebasing the budget, like all things that are just good steward fiscal management of this process. And then I think it is also about how we come in with prioritization and actually investing in things that we know that are leverageable with our federal partners in the private sector and stop investing in the things that are not. And so we know this is, again, it's a season for hard choices, but these are important choices that the state needs to make in order for us to be able to excel.
And again, we're speaking to Governor Westmore. I'm going to follow up on that and ask, and this goes to your administration and the Hogan administration, did the state and the Democrats in Maryland in particular make a mistake in passing the blueprint back when they did, if we kind of knew we were going to be facing a deficit?
No, we have to be able to have a world-class education system. And one of my goals in this session is that, you know, we have to make sure we grow the economy. We have to make sure that we're making our community safe. And we have to make sure we have the best public education system in the country. It's important to invest in public education because that's the pathway. It's also, though, important to pass things that we have a way of being able to pay for them. And I think part of the challenge that we had was when you have a 70% growth in the budget, but you don't have economic growth that can actually sustain it, that's just a basic business model problem.
Got him. Got him. That's just a basic business model problem. Yes, Governor, I agree. He literally just laid out that he can't figure out how to do basic business. He can't figure out basic math. It's beyond him. And that was a good question because he said, look, our structural budget wasn't what people thought it was. We didn't have the money. And then he was asked, okay, well, if you knew you didn't have the money, why didn't we push for, you know, the Kerwin Commission and the red line? And he's like, well, we have to have a state-of-the-art education system. Got him. He knew that there were problems with the budget. He said he's going to fight childhood poverty. He's going to give all these child care tax credits. He's going to do all those things anyways. Because for him, what he wants to accomplish, his agenda, his resume as the governor, that's more important than the fact that we are going to most likely have to pay more in taxes and that our state has just become completely unstable financially. Governor Moore, he literally just laid it out for us. His agenda is more important. What can you do with that? And so these are the kind of things that I wish were asked of Governor Moore before people, you know, took the Gonzalez poll. Anybody with common sense would have heard that and said, well, so you just said that the reason that we're in this situation is because you pushed for it anyway, knowing that we didn't have the money. And then you followed up with whoever made the decision like that is incompetent. He said it himself. Wow. I wonder if he listened back at that interview and thought, oh my gosh, what did I do? What did I say? I just let everybody know that I'm extremely incompetent. I said it myself. Oh boy, oh boy. So he's going to propose these $2 billion in budget cuts. Here's what it's going to come down to. It's $2 billion. Cut the blueprint, Kerwin Commission, whatever you call it. Cut the red line. And cut this climate change, you know, initiative thing that you want to do that's $1 billion. Cut them all. You don't have the money. And this whole thing with, you know, tackling childhood poverty or, you know, child poverty across it, cut that out. Cut it out. You can't tackle child poverty. You can't tackle child anything, really, by skipping all across the parents. I mean, you've got to do something with the parents. What are you going to do? Just continue to drop food off at these kids' house? Are you going to continue to do these things? Are you going to take them shopping? Are you taking them to Macy's? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Get the parents employed. Figure out a way how to get some of these parents that are able-bodied people. I'm not talking about those with disabilities. I'm talking about those that are able to go to work. Figure out a way to get them to work. Grow the economy. Get more jobs here. More careers. I thought it was laughable when Mayor Catherine Pugh was in office and she said, yes, I'm talking to Amazon about them coming here to Baltimore. And I thought, are you joking? Now, why would Amazon do such a thing? Do we need the jobs and careers? Absolutely. Do they want the headaches of the crime, the violence, possibly the workforce being, you know, on a second grade reading level? No, they don't. They don't want that. I mean, think about it. Even with the education system. And, you know, Governor Moore talks about a world-class education system. The money's not the piece. It's not the piece. These are some of the things I wrap my mind around. You think that you can, I guess, raise these kids yourselves with government? Is that what they're believing that they can do? Because we've talked about this, they don't have that moral dimension. The government can't raise your children and you believe that they're going to be, you know, amazing in society. It just doesn't happen. It can't happen. If that was the case, why do we even have foster care? Why do we have homes that these kids have to go to? Why don't we just put them in a government facility and have them live there? You know? No, because kids need a home. They need a home. Another part of this interview that I wanted to share with you is a little nugget, because it's interesting, because it's a little hypocritical for Governor Wes Moore, but I wanted people to hear this, because here he is, he's speaking to an audience where many of them have Trump derangement syndrome, okay? Just so you know, many of them have TDS. Even that, T.J. Smith that did the interview, believe it or not, he has TDS. I've seen it for myself. And so I believe this question was asked of him, and it is the Army-Navy game photo that had President Trump and Governor Wes Moore shaking hands. I've actually put it in my teaser for the show today on social media. If you follow me on anything, Facebook, Instagram, X, you can see the photo in that teaser. And this photo first came out that very day. It was that evening by Governor Wes Moore's spokesperson, and it is of Governor Moore and Donald Trump shaking hands. Well, believe it or not, I tried to look for it again. They deleted it. They did delete it. Now, I believe they deleted it because they were getting a lot of comments on how dare you talk to that Nazi, how dare you talk to that white supremacist, how dare you shake hands with President Trump. He's an awful human being. That could be why they deleted it, because they didn't want all the blowback. But he was asked in this interview, you know, what it was like to speak to Trump in that moment. And I think those with TDS were hoping that Governor Westmore would say, well, he was kind of a jerk, or he was this, or he shook my hand too hard, you know, stuff like that. But that's not what he said. Take a listen.
Have you had a conversation? I know you had a conversation with the president-elect. And to the extent that you want to share anything, are you looking or planning to have further conversations with the president-elect for the state of Maryland?
Absolutely. I mean, he's the incoming president of the United States. And we're going to make sure we're going to fight for Maryland and Maryland values. And, you know, I remember the conversation I had with him when we were at the Army-Navy game. And when people said to me, why, how can you meet with him? I was like, guys, I'm not the leader of the resistance. I'm the governor of Maryland. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that he asked me, he said, what do you need? And I said, and the first two words came out of my mouth, the bridge.
And there you have it. There you have it. And if you heard there, T.J. Smith, he said, uh-huh. Did you hear that little grunt? He was not happy with that response. And Governor Westmore, very hypocritical there, because he says, I'm not the leader of the resistance. I'm the governor of Maryland. Well, you kind of are the leader of resistance, because you told us that you hired legal counsel for millions of dollars alongside A.G. Anthony Brown to fight back whenever President Trump put anything in place on the federal level. You want to be able to fight back. You want to have litigation. You're the one that said it. You said that you're not going to cooperate. And taxpayers are now paying for legal counsel that you have on retainer because you want to fight back against anything that comes out of the Trump administration. You said that yourself, Governor Moore. So now you're telling us you're the governor, you're not the leader of the resistance? Well, good. Take that legal counsel off retainer. I don't want to pay anymore. Dump him. Call the AG, Anthony Brown. Tell him that you're not going to fight back against President Trump because he was a complete class act. When I met him at the Army-Navy game, he shook my hand, and all he asked me is, what do I need? He didn't say anything else. He asked, what do you need? And he was able to answer with the bridge. That was it. So for all of those that have Trump derangement syndrome, for all of those that believe that President Trump can't be presidential, that's really all he wants to do is make this country great, every single state. Do you think that maybe he doesn't know that Governor Westmore is this crazy progressive and he doesn't like Trump? Of course he knows that. Of course he knows that. He was probably briefed before he went and shook his hand. Now, I will note also that came out of that, and some people were wondering, how did they come across one another? Because you wouldn't think that President Trump and Governor Moore would be in the same wing or, you know, in the same box or whatever. So apparently Governor Westmore and some of his people, they requested to say hello to the president. They requested, that is alleged, they requested to say hello. So when they shook hands in that picture that you see, apparently that was in the box President Trump was in with Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, and all those guys. So Westmore went upstairs to talk to him. So I'm glad that Westmore did that. I just want to put that out there. Thank you, Governor, for understanding that he is going to be the president for the next 4 years. Thank you, Governor, for understanding that this guy is not a jerk. He's not this mean guy. He's not a racist. He's not a white supremacist. All these things that are being said. Thank you for clearing that up. I really do genuinely mean that. Thank you for clearing it up. Because the person that was interviewing you, Governor, he was waiting for you to say something where he could hang his hat and be like, oh, I knew it. I knew this guy was awful. Orange man bad. But he's not. And this is what I've said time and time on this show, because some people have asked me, some of them that don't like Trump, whether they're Republican or Democrat, they're like, he just seems so awful. I can't believe that, you know, you went to Mar-a-Lago. I can't believe that you take pictures with him, that you support him. That's the Trump that I see every single time. The same Trump that Governor Westmore just described, that's who I see. I never met this Trump that's such a monster that I hear about from people that've never met him. He's a really nice guy. He's actually very funny. And there you have it. He asked Governor Westmore, what does he need in the state of Maryland to make Maryland great again? That's what he asked him. If you want to weigh in on any of this, I would love for you to do so. It's 410-WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. Again, I give props for Governor Moore for going up there and wanting to say hello to Trump and wanting to shake his hands and for him to clear up the context behind that picture. Because, of course, there were many people saying, oh, I'm sure he gave him the strong handshake so he could show him who's the boss. Wes Moore never said that happened. Didn't happen. You weren't there. So I'm happy that he did so. All right, coming up next, if you want to weigh in, of course, call in. You can also text to the text line. Please do so. Don't forget our good question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. It's currently on WCBM.com. Should California hold recall elections for Governor Gavin Newsom and the mayor of Los Angeles? Please take part in that poll, and we'll share it here on the show. We are going to talk about a mayor in Louisiana. Now, I know you're probably thinking the mayor in New Orleans. Nope. Bogalusa, Louisiana, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but they have a mayor there, and that mayor is in a lot of hot water. And I bring this to you, not that I usually talk about mayors in other states, but I bring this to you because it kind of, it somewhat reminds me of other mayors that we've had in this region. And I wanted to tell you about it in case you missed the story. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the increases coming to consumers in Baltimore from BGE. All that and more coming up next. All right, we're talking about Governor Wes Moore, talking about some of the revelations here. He did say, in fact, that he knew that he did not have the money for Kerwin Commission, Ren 9, and all those other things, and he still went with it anyway. And so he has laid out the fact that he knew the problems, but he didn't care. He also said President Trump was, effectively a good guy. Asked him, what did he need? Once he gets sworn into office here on January 20th. I mean, again, those that are so anti-Trump, it's so funny to me because they're the same people. They've never met him. They just watch MSNBC or CNN and they're like, oh, yeah, he's a monster. He is a monster. Real quick, we were talking about, making sure that you're updated here on the Los Angeles fires. Apparently, the new fire did break out in Studio City about an hour ago. As it continues to spread. And there was also some messages coming up now out of Los Angeles County government wondering how much of their fire equipment, because now this is coming out from the, Los Angeles itself, how much equipment was sent as far as surplus firefighting gear to Ukraine. That's going to be investigated here, I'm sure, in the next coming days. They're saying that they absolutely did send some of it to Ukraine. If that's the case, oh, my God. You know what? Well, I'm definitely going to continue to watch that story. I've got Jeff in Phoenix. Jeff, you wanted to weigh in on Governor Wes Moore and his Maryland values?
Yes. Good morning.
Morning.
Governor Wes Moore, I would like to know, where is this incredible safety in Maryland? If I'm not mistaken, and I may be wrong here, but I thought that I heard that, I don't know if it's Maryland in general or Baltimore in specific, are either both or one of the two, the number two, we are number two in carjackings in the United States. The other thing is regarding Governor Moore's statement on Maryland's world class education. Well, Kim, I think you can attest to this, that in some of the counties, the proficiency may be in the high 40s. Yeah. And as we all know, in Baltimore City, there is a plethora of schools where the proficiency is 0.0. And instead of perhaps talking about child care tax credits, why don't we, as Marylanders with our incredible Maryland values, look at ways to cut taxes so that perhaps young couples that wanted to, maybe one of the two, perhaps the mother, could afford to stay home and raise the children. And you were talking about, and I think accurately so, the caricature of President Donald J. Trump. Well, if you talk and listen to the thousands of people that have worked for the Trump organizations through the year, most of them would walk through walls for the man. And like you said, I have never met anyone or heard anyone who has actually spent time with the 45th and 47th president of the United States and has not walked away saying, I was very impressed, he's very personable, and is Kim, as you just said, very funny and very friendly. Keep up spreading the truth. Keep spreading the truth, Kim, because as we all know, the truth has no agenda.
Yeah, amen to that, Jeff. Thank you so much. I appreciate
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Wow. You know, and that is true, though. It really is. Trump's a great guy. Whether people want to know it or admit it or not, he is a good guy. Also, there's a lot of video coming out of Jimmy Carter's funeral that they're having right now in D.C. They're honoring the president as we speak. Looks like there's some clips of it on Newsmax, of course, circulating. But you have Barack Obama and President Donald Trump sitting next to each other laughing with one another. It looks like that Trump might have, you know, cracked a couple of jokes. Barack is laughing. But, you know, he's not this awful guy that they pretend that he is. He really is not. And even they know that. I mean, think about it. Before he went to run for office, right, and even before he was a Republican, Democrats loved him. They were at all his parties. Yeah, they were all asking for donations. P. Diddy loved them. They all loved them. But as soon as he ran against Hillary Clinton, they turned. And then they were like, wait, and you're a Republican? How dare you leave our side? And so, you know, there's a lot of resentment and animosity, but they don't actually hate him. And that's what's, you know, just hilarious about the whole thing. All right, coming up next, we'll stay on this topic and also talk about the increases you'll see soon from BGE.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humble.
Kim Plasek Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Happy Thursday. Has it gotten any warmer outside? Probably not. Probably not. Oh, this is torture. Torture, I tell you. I hate running errands in this type of cold weather. And it's windy. There's going to be a lot of whining is on this show. Brian, the producer, get used to it, buddy. All right, we're talking about Governor Westmore. Obviously, new 90-day session started yesterday. We were discussing it with Delegate Kathy Shalega, Delegate Ryan Araki, and then, of course, we were talking about the Los Angeles fires. And some of you want to weigh in. I've got John in Pasadena. John, did you want to weigh in on Westmore?
Yes, ma'am. Great show.
Thank you.
Well, I think it has to do with Westmore, but the whole progressive ideology, number one. Moore's claim to fame, he was a operations director for nonprofits. That's where his accolades are. I mean, he was a Rhodes Scholar. But the bottom line is, what we have here in most of these Democrat-run cities is a social services mentality. Most of this leadership, how do they get elected? They get elected from people who are utilizing their talents or how to get over on Social Security. Just live in 30-day increments. We need capitalists. This is a capitalistic country. We need people that can get through the tough times on their own, take 100 hours and make 100,000 out of it. Have the ingenuity, have the fortitude, the skills, the talents to apply the American spirit. Not just wait for tax time and get another $90 million here or we only got to make it through for 30 days. We get the stamps. I mean, the whole thing is designated. If I want to destroy capitalism, it's exactly how I would do it. I'd split the families up, make the families live 30-day increments. We're going to throw you life raft every 30 days. And then let's hire people. Who are they going to vote for? Going to vote for people like themselves. So let's get leadership in here that knows how to scam the people who actually dig the gold. Let's get their money and piss it away. And that's what we have here for the past 20 years. And that's what we got with Moore. Same thing. He doesn't know how to make something out of nothing.
Yeah. No, John. John, you're absolutely correct. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you. And John is correct. And that's why I always say, I don't think they can run a lemonade stand. And yes, this economy, it's completely fueled by government, right? Whether it's government grants, the government jobs in D.C. I mean, that's what this is all about. That's why they fought so hard you know, when they were talking about having the FBI headquarters here in Maryland. Of course they want it. They need it. That's the new jobs that they talk about. When they're talking about job growth in Maryland, it's usually some kind of vendor that has federal grant money. And I think they were, remember the text message he was reading off of his phone? It was supposedly a text message from some guy in government tech or something like that. It's John, yes, John from government with a government tech business. He was thanking Governor Westmore for the great job that he was doing. But yeah, it was a tech business funded by the government. Funded by us tax dollars. Yeah, our taxpayers, I should say. That's the problem with a lot of these things. Real quick, before I go into this, because I did find the article that discusses Los Angeles Fire Department sending equipment to Ukraine. Apparently, it did actually happen in March of 2022. We'll get into that in just a second. But I just wanted to bring this to your attention. The Bogalusa, Louisiana mayor, he has been arrested. And it's very interesting on why he was arrested. Take a listen.
The news we brought you earlier in the show. This video is from just a few moments ago as Bogalusa Mayor Tyron Trung was released from jail. He was arrested this morning on multiple charges after what officials call a months-long drug trafficking investigation.
A months-long drug trafficking investigation. All right, I'm going to give you the details here because there are some details that have come out since that video has come out a couple of days ago. But again, this is the mayor of Bogalusa, Louisiana. Okay. First and foremost, I've never heard of Bogalusa. Is it like some major metropolitan city? No, it's not. But these, again, there are some people, and I think our caller Karen pointed it out when she called earlier. There are some people that are going to vote for individuals based on the color of their skin. And if they believe that they're just like them, right? Here is the story. Louisiana mayor arrested in connection with a drug and prostitution investigation, allegedly using taxpayer money to rent an Airbnb for a woman of the night. That's what we'll call her. Bogalusa mayor, his last name is Trung, 25 years old, was charged with soliciting women of the night and drug-related offenses, among other charges. The mayor allegedly organized entertainment with the women of the night at an Airbnb rented with public funds. Yes, he used taxpayer dollars for this. During a mayor's conference in Atlanta. So he wasn't doing it in Louisiana. He wasn't supporting the women of the night in Louisiana. He was supporting the women of the night in Atlanta. How dare you? How dare you? I'm sure the women in Louisiana are like, well, now why did he take that on the road? It also says he was charged with buying drugs in Louisiana, and I guess that he took them with him to Atlanta for the party. The investigation found a drug trafficking organization in Bogalusa, which distributes opioids, marijuana, THC products, and MDMA, for those that don't know, that's like ecstasy, using social media for sales and payment management. He was using social media for sales of these things. Unbelievable. It goes on to say the profits from the drug sales were used to purchase firearms. Just so you know, he's pro-gun control. So this is kind of weird. Awkward. Some of which were smuggled to people prohibited from possessing them or linked to violent crimes in the area. Wow. Oh, wow. So basically, a guy from Safe Streets was elected mayor. That's what it sounds like to me. That's what it sounds like. So wait a minute. You've got this mayor. He's only 25 years old. You mean to tell me that he's for the streets? No way. So he does all of these things with taxpayer dollars. This guy's going to jail for a minute. A hot minute. This is craziness. And I bet he thought he wouldn't get caught. It reminds me of a couple of different things. Of course, Mary Berry, right, in D.C. Remember he was caught with the women of the night himself. I will give Marion some credit because as far as I know, he used his own money for that. It makes it a little different, right? That pill is a little less hard to swallow. But I did think about Mayor Brandon Scott and the Safe Streets organization. I did, to be honest with you. The fact that the FBI has raided the Bel Air Edison location, the fact that many State Street locations have been popped for drugs and possession of weapons, and these are all, you know, convicted felons that are not supposed to possess a weapon at all. It reminded me of that. Now, do I think that they're getting Airbnbs out of town with taxpayer dollars and partying it up? I don't know, because do you remember, probably the producer, maybe you remember this. Do you remember when there was, Mackenzie Frost, she did a report on Safe Streets, and we found out they purchased a bunch of sneakers from, like, downtown locker room, right, the store. But then we also found out that they took a trip to Los Angeles. Do you guys remember that? I got to find this story. They took a trip to Los Angeles, and because Safe Streets is so secretive, right, because Mayor Scott doesn't want anybody to know what's going on, remember, even though they're getting taxpayer dollars through Monzi and Catholic Charities and all those organizations that are getting grant money from the city, we're told that we're not really supposed to know where all this money is going, and we're not supposed to know who's involved in Safe Streets exactly. But they took this trip to Los Angeles, and I remember this vividly. Mackenzie Frost said that she was trying to dig around to find out why they were there. The only thing that she was told is that it was important training. I'm telling you, it gives me the same vibes as this guy going out of town with his staff to Atlanta and renting this Airbnb, and then all this stuff comes out. I would love for that investigation to go further into Safe Streets and when they traveled. Where did they go and why? I'm not saying that they did exactly what this guy in Bogalusa did, but in my head, the wheels are turning. I don't believe that this mayor thought, he could be just, this outlier and not get caught in this. Remember, these mayors, including the Bogalusa mayor, they have a conference twice a year, and they call it the Mayor's Association. And Mayor Brandon Scott, he attends these conferences. It's twice a year. I think the last time they had it, I believe they went to Chicago. I'm not quite certain. But Mayor Scott, he posts every time that he goes. There's pictures and stuff on his social media accounts. But this Bogalusa mayor would have been at the conferences as well. I want to know what's going on. I do. I want to know what's going on. And only progressive Democrat mayors are invited to this conference. That's the Mayor's Association. That's how Mayor Brandon Scott goes and all those others that are so-called progressive. Boy, oh boy. I just wanted to bring that story to you because it gave me chills when I saw it. And I thought, wait a minute. He did all this in Atlanta. He flew to Atlanta and he did all of this. Wait a minute. Why did Safe Streets go to California? I'm telling you, it's bizarre. And I'm not saying if there's, anybody or feds listening, I don't know. But I would love for you to ask some questions, especially if you are part of that raid into the Bel Air Edison location there. Something happened. And we were all scratching our heads because then we found out they bought a bunch of sneakers from downtown locker room. Remember, they told Mackenzie Frost it was for like some giveaway. And it was for, like, the community or something. But this is what I'm saying. There's so much room for corruption and fraud, based on the way they have this set up. The Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety Engagement with Safe Streets and all these other nonprofits that are involved. There could be a ton of fraud in all of this. And we don't know. We really don't know. Because they're saying that they don't have to answer to any of it. And so when you also put on top of that, Mayor Brandon Scott, he now is in charge of the police department, right? He's getting all these things under his belt. And I feel like we're right there. We're going to solve this thing. You and I. Me and you. I know. I'm crazy. All right. I just wanted to put that out there, and I will look for it. I did just mention to you, I found the story because it's now circulating that the Los Angeles Fire Department sent equipment to Ukraine. I found it. It's true. Thursday, March 17th, 2022, the Los Angeles County Fire Department joined 4th District Los Angeles County Supervisor Janice Hahn at Fire Station 171 in the city of Inglewood to announce that they would join the national effort to gather and donate surplus equipment and gear overseas to help first responders in the country of Ukraine. In its fourth week of conflict with Russia, first responders in Ukraine are faced with shortages in supplies to help provide basic emergency services and fire protection to its citizens and communities. All right, so this is from the Los Angeles County Fire Chief Daryl Osby. This is what he said, again, March 2022. He says, as Ukrainian firefighters continue to work under extreme peril to remove victims with limited resources, we felt the need to step up and help in some way. Now, the surplus items such as hoses, nozzles, turnouts, I don't know what that is, but if you're a firefighter, you probably do, helmets, body armor, and other associated personnel protective equipment was collected and sent to assist with the shortages. Now, remember, a lot of the stuff was collected because they let a lot of the firefighters go as they were preparing to cut the budget. This is a disaster. You know what it also reminds me of, which is we just saw in New Orleans with the terrorist attack, using cones instead of the actual barricades that they had. There's a lot of incompetence across this country, and I hope voters are paying attention. I hope they understand how we got into some of these situations, and I hope they know that all of this could have been prevented. But when you have people in charge, leadership that just is about building their agenda and their resume, this is what happens. That's why I'm very nervous about, you know, this session that we're currently in with Governor Westmore and those in Annapolis. I'm a little nervous about it. What are they going to come up with this time? These progressive ideas are killing us, literally. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know that I am. All right, coming up next, we'll get into the increases coming out of BGE. And also Stephen A. Smith. Yes, of all people, Stephen A. Smith went off on a New York judge. We'll get into that. And then this one is a very near and dear to my heart, this topic. And I gotta go into this, Brian. Chick-fil-A. I don't know how you guys feel about Chick-fil-A. I know how I feel about Chick-fil-A. Well, there's some changes coming up at Chick-fil-A, and we're going to get into this. I think Chick-fil-A is a great company. I think they have great training. I love when they say, what do they say? Well, a lot of them do say God bless, but a lot of them do say my pleasure. I guess that's part of the training. I do like that. I do. Whenever one of the attendants does not say my pleasure, like in my head, I'm thinking, you know, McDonald's is right down the street. Okay, that's where you belong. You belong to the streets. You belong to McDonald's. This is Chick-fil-A. Tighten up. All right, we'll discuss all that more coming up next. All right, I just found an even better video of Barack Obama and President Trump speaking to each other at Jimmy Carter's funeral today. Gosh, the people are not going to like this. Is President Barack Obama hanging out with a Nazi? Oh, my goodness. Even after everybody got up and walked away, they were still chatting together. Like old pals, old friends. Oh boy, oh boy. Interesting stuff. All right, real quick, while I have time in this time slot, I just wanted to talk about something quickly here because you guys probably aren't going to agree with me. And this is going to be an unpopular opinion. I know it is. I know it is. Do not stone me to death. I don't like Chick-fil-A. I don't like Chick-fil-A. I never liked it. I probably won't like it. My daughter loves it. I take her because I think that's what good parents should do. Like I said earlier, I like the manners that they have, but I don't like the food. And so when I saw the headline that there was changing coming to Chick-fil-A French fries, the waffle fries that they have, I got excited. Because I thought, you know what, they're going to make a change, and you know what, maybe I'll like it. Well, I opened up the story, and there it read that Chick-fil-A's waffle fries are now getting a lasting crunch. They're adding pea starch to the waffle fries so that they will be crunchy even when cold. So my excitement clearly left me immediately. I can't imagine. I don't like Chick-fil-A. Am I the only one? I'm the only one. Brian, the producer, said yes. I'm the only one. Here's the thing. Jonathan, the social media guru, we had this discussion one day. You know what? Even Eric, the engineer, was standing there. We were talking about Chick-fil-A. They were like, what? Who doesn't like Chick-fil-A? It's great. I said, me. It's terrible. And I said, and I bet you, I guarantee you, they cook their stuff in peanut oil. Because whenever I eat their chicken nuggets, my throat hurts. And then Jonathan was like, no way. Everybody has a peanut allergy. That's not true. They wouldn't do that. So then he gets on Google. You know what it said? They cooked their chicken nuggets in peanut oil. I knew it. I knew it. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like Chick-fil-A. That's probably my least favorite fast food joint, honestly. I'd rather eat McDonald's than Chick-fil-A. I know. This is sad, isn't it? And Chick-fil-A, you know, their values aligned with mine. I like the service. I think the people that work there are great. But their food is horrible. To me. And maybe because, and it's not even I have this huge peanut allergy. I just knew immediately. And I would always say, I was like, man, and I asked Olivia, I said, your throat doesn't itch after eating the chicken nuggets? And she's like, no, Mom. I thought, yeah, something ain't right. Something's not right here. But anyways, if you like Chick-fil-A, this is great news for you. Even when the fries are cold, they'll still be crunchy. They won't get all soggy and things like that. That's another thing. Why do they have waffle fries? Do they taste plain to me. Is that wrong? Like McDonald's fries, yeah, they can be a little bit salty. But, yeah, I don't know. This is probably an unpopular opinion. And I'll let it go right here. But I don't like Chick-fil-A. And I thought I'd tell you. And I... Look, the good thing is you're getting to know me more and more each day. You really are. All right, coming up next, we are going to talk about the increases coming out of BGE. I wanted to wait till we had more time to discuss that, because if you want to weigh in, you can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. When we come back, we have this story from Channel 11. And this is a little bit what we were talking to Delegate Kathy Schlage and Delegate Ryan Araki about, you know, the energy costs. The energy costs are going through the roof here in 2025. And believe it or not, the increases aren't going to stop here in January, February, March, what have you. They're going to continue throughout the year. And that is because of the spending, and that is because of some of the mandates that some of these Democrats put in place in regards to energy. So when we get back, we're going to talk about that. We'll also talk about Stephen A. Smith and how he is upset with the New York judge that is trying to sentence Trump for this hush money case. All that and more coming up next. All right, I got a couple messages here saying that they're not happy with my outbursts about Chick-fil-A. Brian, the producer, did remind me to note I do like their strawberry milkshakes. So I do like that. It's the food aspect that I'm not a fan of. My best friend, Frankie, real quick, she had her baby shower not too long ago, and I was happy to help plan it. And she said, oh, I know, we could just get the food from Chick-fil-A. This is before they realize. Yeah, I usually keep my Chick-fil-A comments to myself. And I said, oh, that sounds wonderful. That sounds great. You know, but she ended up going with Mexican food anyways. And I thought, thank goodness. I couldn't imagine being there. I would have to set up, right, put everything together, attend the party, and then take everything down. I would have been there all day. I was there all day with nothing to eat. Luckily, she went with something else. Real quick, also I wanted to bring you this update. Elon Musk, SpaceX, they did provide Starlink terminals to Los Angeles. And that is, honestly, that's how some of these reporters and TV crews are broadcasting live from Los Angeles with the fire coverage. Did you guys know that? Yeah, Elon Musk, he sent down the Starlink terminals, and that's how they've got live coverage. Because otherwise, they don't have any other way to get the word out. And that they wouldn't be able to be there on scene. So they are very thankful to be able to just stream that live for everybody instead of, you know, taking the video, then taking it back to the studio and cutting it, editing it, and then sending it out. So great stuff. Great stuff. You know, this is why we do need technology. Even though I don't love it all the time, this is why we do need it. Let's see. I do have a text here from Anthony. We're going to get to this BGE story here in a second. Anthony says, the 19 ingredients in McDonald's French fries are potatoes, vegetable oil, natural beef flavor, dextrose, sodium acid, salt, corn oil, citric acid, something else I can't, I cannot pronounce that. Soybean oil, TBHQ, water, citric acid again, and then it goes down to canola oil. And okay, you know what, Anthony? I don't care. I don't care. Yes, I know. McDonald's is not good for you. So I don't usually eat any of this stuff because you guys know I deal with high blood pressure. So I try to stay away from fast food altogether. But I was just letting you guys know I'm not a fan of Chick-fil-A. That's all. I wasn't a fan. All right, before we move on here, it looks like somebody does want to comment about Gavin Newsom. Sean in La Plata. Sean, are you in La Plata, Maryland?
Yeah, I'm doing a job here.
Okay.
Well, actually further away.
Okay.
Anyway,
nice. I grew up down there. Go ahead.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice area.
Thank you.
Anyway, a couple things. First off, you got to quit cracking me up, man. I can barely drive. You're You're a gas. I love listening to you.
Thanks.
And also, on a more serious note, you know, what about the darter snail? It wasn't that endangered in California? Isn't that why they let the water run into the ocean in the first place? Now it's all of a sudden these slugs or whatever they are, the
stout fish. Fish. Yeah.
The puffers, whatever. Anyway, you know, that disappoints me. Governor Newsom, I've never heard him say anything about the darter snails. You know, and I'm pretty upset about that. But, you know, and let me voice my surprise that the government sends fire trucks over to Ukraine from the place most dangerous for fires in the country.
Right. Yep.
You know, California, it's dry, it's half desert, the idiots there don't know how to cut the brush. But you know, it makes sense that we should send fire trucks over to Ukraine from there and not, you know, someplace like Washington State that's a rainforest. They, you know, but,
yeah,
you know, well, I guess that's the Democrats, you know.
Yeah, you know, Sean, that's why I say that there's a lot of similarities. Sean, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you.
Thanks.
I hope you have a great weekend. But Sean's correct. This is a very dangerous area for fires, and they've started time and time again. This is the first brush fire in California, right? But he's right. To send the gear over to Ukraine and say, oh, yeah, they need more. But like I said, they did that because they were already anticipating the budget cuts. They knew they were going to cut from the fire department. They knew that they're going to have, you know, this extra gear and equipment sitting around. And so they just figured, oh, we'll give it to Ukraine, and we'll donate it, and then we'll look like we really care about the war in Ukraine on top of it. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure with a lot of their Facebook profiles and whatever social media platform they're on, I'm sure they have like a Ukrainian flag right next to their handle or their name. You know, when everybody started doing that, I thought, are you serious now? You can't be serious. Now all of a sudden you love Ukraine? Sure. Sure, buddy. All right. I did want to just say and update you guys because we have the question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Should California hold recall elections for Governor Gavin Newsom and the mayor of Los Angeles? Right now, 97% of you say yes, but 3% of you say no. 3% say, you know what, just let him be. At this point, because of the recall election before for Gavin Newsom, I think, yeah, it probably is a waste of money and it probably is a waste of time because you're going to always have these individuals that are going to just say, well, no, this is who we wanted the job, and this is who we believe should do it, and, you know, so have. It's unfortunate, but, you know, as many people pointed out calling this show, they can't get past all of that. They really cannot. All right, we are going to get past this, and we're going to go into this BGE story, because I think it's going to affect many people that most likely listen to this show. This story comes out of Channel 11, believe it or not, and they were talking about the unfortunate fact that there's going to be some increases. Now, we know for a fact that in this state, Democrats have decided that they are going to figure out how we're going to use energy, and they want to make sure that you use energy the way that they want you to use it. Okay, you don't really have a say in all of this. And that's what Delegate Kathy Shalega was saying earlier. You don't have a say, even when it comes to your gas stove. And this is something that really is upsetting to me because we know that Governor Wes Moore has gas stoves and grills at the governor's mansion. And he's posted videos with them recently. But this is part, look, you know what? He can have these emissions in the air, but you cannot. He is the governor. Rules for thee, but not for me. All right, take a listen to this audio here, and I do want you to weigh in. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. If these increases affect you, I want to know how you feel about this. Take a listen.
The answer is, unfortunately, indefinitely for most of those fees. It's going to end up by June being about $26 extra a month when you couple them all together. That's why BGE says right now during this cold season, it is vital that you save energy where you can in order to save money because these fees start this month.
What you pay for energy is increasing significantly in 2025.
Five separate increases in 6 months starting in January. 36% attributed to BGE Investments. The utility tells 11 News the other 64% is out of their control. By June, the average combined residential gas and electric customer will see about a $26 increase per month.
This is unprecedented. Unprecedented.
$7.77 of that monthly increase is connected to BGE distribution rates, funding investments in updating aging infrastructure, and installing. BGE is requesting another $1.55 added to make up for $152 million under-recovered in 2023. Stemming from a multi-year plan filed before inflation and supply chain disruptions due to the pandemic, if approved by the Public Service Commission, you'll see the fee start this spring. Beginning this month, the Empower fee is increasing to $334 to fund state-mandated energy efficiency programs. In June, more than $9 will tack on to the list due to the lack of adequate generation resources in Maryland. The Brandon Shores Generating Facility was set to retire in June, but the transmission solution to replace it, transferring power from Pennsylvania, won't be ready until 2028. To keep the state powered, the regional transmission operator, PJM, is increasing prices. A reliability must-run agreement charge of more than $4 a month will keep the Brandon Shores facility online until the solution is in place.
If you just shut down Brandon Shores and didn't have the transmission solution to bring the amount of power that it would have provided into the state, you would have rolling blackouts.
Now, with all these added fees starting now, going till June is when they'll really ramp up. If you need some energy assistance, you can contact BGE. They can tell you if you're eligible for some state programs. Tommy Clark, TV 11 News.
Are you eligible for the state programs? Oh, my gosh. BGE, what a nightmare. What a nightmare. If you want to weigh in, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. At this point, can we really handle any more increases? I don't think we can. Where do they think people are getting all this money from? Groceries are through the roof. Gas isn't as bad as it was. It's getting a little bit better. But I tell you what, I told you this before, going grocery shopping for just myself and Olivia? Ridiculous. I told her we can't really go and hang out at Target anymore. That's not a thing. It's not a thing. Luckily, you know, she's been doing her own little tours and, you know, making her own money. She's got her Christmas money. So she goes and buy her stuff with that. But I told her, I'm like, look, it's not in the budget to continue to sit here and try to buy you slime or any of the other things. We just can't afford it. It's food, no slime. Now, I know there's some people, like the illegal aliens that are here, that aren't making those tough decisions, but we have to. And so here's the big part of this. If you missed it, it says there will be 5 separate increases in 6 months starting in January. BGE investments account for 36% of the increases, while the other 64% is out of their control. That's what they told Channel 11. The other 64% is out of their control. Of the roughly $26 increase, $7.77 is connected to BGE distribution rates, which funds investments in updating aging infrastructure and installing automation technology. Why was that not included in the bipartisan infrastructure bill? Where is that bill? Where is the money? They tell us all the time that we don't have any money for infrastructure, but I'm almost certain that bill passed because that's something that Joe Biden has been hanging his hat on. Where is that money? We were told, you know what? It was actually Channel 11 that broke that story. I think his name is Tolly Taylor. We were told by Tolly that, unfortunately, with all the EV charging stations, they were all supposed to come out in a certain amount of time. Apparently, they were talking to Mayor Pete Buttigieg about it because he's the transportation secretary, and they still hadn't got started. So it was Mr. Taylor with Channel 11. He started going around to the locations where they were supposed to start installing these electric stations, and they still hadn't started. So he called, and they were like, yeah, we just haven't gotten to it as of yet, but it is something that we have budgeted. So if you haven't even begun that, right, these charging stations, and you're now telling us that you're increasing prices here on people for infrastructure, why not use some of that money? What about all the money you're putting aside for the wind turbines? This, again, poor decision-making. BGE is requesting another $1.55 to make up for the $152 million under-recovered in 2023, which stems from a multi-year plan filed before inflation and supply chain distributions due to the pandemic. How many times were we told that they had COVID relief money still sitting around? Now BGE is charging their customers to make up the $152 million under-recovered in 2023. Where's the COVID relief money? See, these are questions that need to be asked, okay? Look, I understand what the reporters are going through in this region, probably in the state of Maryland altogether. It's very hard to ask questions of some of these Democrat leaders and what they do. And it's so sneaky because they know they're not going to get voted out because they're going to vote blue no matter who, right? So they know that they're not going to get voted out. So what they do is they ignore a question or they filibuster or they just, you know, give us this word salad. And then the reporters don't follow up on it because they want to make sure that they can ask them a question later in the future and they'll actually call on them. And so that's what they do. It's like they push, but they don't push far enough. So we, the people who rely on these reporters to get us more information, we never get it because they feel as though they have to protect themselves, their brand, and make sure that they can ask questions at a later date. Even though I look at it as like, why do you care to ask questions at a later date? You're never getting any answers. This is terrible. Terrible news. If you want to weigh in, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I feel so bad for people. When it comes to the reassessments on the properties, and you know they're going to raise taxes this session. They have more fees coming out. Governor Wes Moore, he tacked on a bunch of fees last session. Grocery prices. It's just, for some, it's just too much to bear. It really is. You know, this past year, Olivia and I, we didn't take vacation. Now, a part of this was my, you know, decision to run for office, and that's fine. But it's like, you know, even now, Olivia asked me, she's like, when are we going to Florida? Because we usually try to go once a year, you know. And I'm just like, yeah, well, yeah, soon. No, we're not going soon. We're not. It's not in the money. We're not going soon. And I can't imagine how some people are struggling. And I do know that there are very hardworking people that are amazing people that are living on either a fixed income or they're receiving minimum wage, and it's just not enough. And I can see how it's not enough. I can see it. I told you before, my mom, she lives on a fixed income. She's retired. Her property was just reassessed. She's one of those. It's a shame. I used to give my mom gifts for her birthday or for Christmas. Now I just give her money. Not that she asked for it, but it's, I mean, that to me, it's the right thing to do at this point. It's really awful. It really is. If you're affected by this, I would just like to say I'm sorry. And I understand what you're going through. The only thing we can do is hope and pray that it gets better. I know not everything's going to get better under President Trump. I get that, especially here in the state. And I don't want you to feel like you're in a position where you have to move out of the state. Because we've talked to so many people that finally purchased their dream homes and they think they're going to retire and they're just going to live here and see their grandchildren grow up. But the more and more it gets expensive, the more and more they're thinking about having to leave. And it breaks my heart. It really does. I don't think we should tax people that are retired at all. I think they should just rein back spending. Just do it already. We'll discuss more when we get back.
She traveled this road as a
all
child.
Right. Again, I feel the pain here. I understand what you guys are going through. And it's tough. I got a text here. It says, help for those who can't pay the bills. So not only are they going to make me pay more to keep my house warm or cool, but I also have to pay more to subsidize people who I'm already paying their grocery bills. That is correct, Tim. That's what you got to do. It's very sad. It really is. Another text here says these fees are all a result of the green agenda. The only thing about the green agenda are the dollars, and that is what it's costing us. So true about that. And that's what it comes down to. Is, you know, this is part of the agenda. This is what their initiatives are. This is how they're going to be so progressive. But this is, so California has already been there, done that. And you see what the results are. But they're going to do it anyway. That's what kills me. You see that it's a disaster. All right, real quick, I wanted to play the Stephen A. Smith soundbite for you. I told you, he's going to be MAGA by June. I really think he is. But, you know, there's that judge in New York that still wants to sentence President Trump for the hush money payment to Stormy Daniels. Take a listen.
You might be surprised with what I have to say about this. This is the kind of stuff that just validates assertions about stuff being politicized. Maybe not specifically with Trump, but the suspicion definitely is there. What is the purpose of this? Is he going to jail? Are you going to jail? You're going to get fined. We got to sit up there and go through all the pomp and circumstance when you know you're not going to do anything. He was certified today as the next president of the United States of America. Come January 21st, he will be sworn in as the 47th president of the United States of America. But you want to have, you want to sentence him. You're Juan Merchan. Who is he? The state Supreme Court justice in New York. You want to sentence him next Friday. And by the way, what is the sentencing about? Because, see, we got to be real about it. We just got to be real about it. 34 felony counts. Sounds very, very damaging. It's a hush money case. Essentially, the case against Donald Trump is that he is alleged to have engaged in relations with a former porn star, and he made efforts involving finances to keep her mouth shut. That's what all of this is about. You know what some people said to me when they were talking about this? They said, could you please tell me what's the difference between this and somebody signing an NDA? I don't know the answer to these questions. I'm just telling you what people's thought process is.
And that is a valid question. It is a valid question when it comes to the NDAs. Here's the deal. And Stephen A. Smith is right. I mean, going through all this, jumping through all these hoops, it's really just to inconvenience Trump and to make him look like some bad guy. Right? It's a dog and pony show. That's what this is. And like I said before, he's going to be MAGA by June. I said before, even Mayor Eric Adams in New York, I think he's going to be MAGA by March. As soon as Tom Homan takes over and starts getting rid of some of those illegals, Eric Adams is going to be like, you know what? I've decided to switch to the Republican Party. He's going to do one of those videos on Fox News. Oh, I can see it coming. All right, we have lots to discuss tomorrow, especially when it comes to the fires in Los Angeles. Brian, as always, thank you for a great show. I hope you have a great day, everyone, and I will talk to you tomorrow at 9 a.m.